Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Good morning. It's so good to see all of you. It was so great. Thank you guys who were bringing your kids. It's amazing to worship with them and then to watch them all run away from us very quickly as if they're done, because they are. Hey, I'm really excited this morning. I get to introduce one of my closest friends in the world, Benny Yu. Some of you have heard from Janice and Benny at different points in the last couple years. I can talk about the accolades of Benny, but I'll just say this about him. He does a lot for the kingdom, for the fight against human trafficking, but the reality is he is somebody who inspires wherever he is. And he inspires because he lives out a faith that is really authentic and profound and transformative. And Benny, and he's sitting there laughing with my wife, so I'm being very sentimental. I love you. Come share with us.
Good morning. It's great to be with you guys. Again, my name is Benny Yu, and we do some of that stuff that Josh was mentioning about fighting human trafficking, and it is, I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, but in the context of what you guys are also talking about in Ezekiel and constructing hope, right? So you guys are in a, for those of you who don't know, or if you're new here, there's a new series going on, it's Constructing Hope, and I want to begin with a word of prayer, just to allow us to center ourselves, allow the Holy Spirit to move amongst us. So why don't we do that? The Holy Spirit, we invite you to this place. Yes, Lord. We open up our hearts to you, Lord, right now. With every heart and every mind, Lord, focus completely upon your voice that is speaking this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and move and bring the conviction, Lord, into our hearts. Oh, Lord, speak to our hearts and our minds and our intellect, our emotions, our past, present, and future, everything that we are and do, Lord. We want to hear from the author and creator, oh, Lord, of the universe. Lord, speak to us. Lord, and I pray that we would respond. Lord. Would we respond with boldness and with courage and with strength and with deep faith, oh Lord, knowing that we are not alone, that you are with us, that you are for us, Lord, that you are leading us and guiding us and strengthening every step. Lord, would you use these words, oh Lord, to encourage us even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So for those of you who don't know the work that we're doing, I'm just going to give you a very brief introduction on what we do. My name is Benny Yu, my wife, Janice. We've been married for over 22 years, and now we've been in Mexico for close to 15 years. I became a Mexican citizen. I love that part. That's a very passionate thing of mine. And my son is here in this building. I don't know where he is. And my daughter is studying out in California. So we started over 10 years ago, close to 12 years ago, we started El Pozo de Vida, which means the well of life. And we fight human trafficking. And our approach is very holistic. We have 10 different projects in the areas of prevention, intervention, and restoration. And I'm going to be sharing a little bit, drawing from those experiences to help talk about this issue of hope, okay? And hope in exile is really what the topic is. And it's like an oxymoron, right? How do you have hope in exile? It sounds like jumbo shrimp, you know? You look at this jumbo shrimp and it's this big. It's literally this big. And you're like, whoa! That shrimp is huge, because we're used to seeing little tiny shrimp, right? How can you actually have hope in exile? How do we have joy while we're fighting human trafficking, such a huge darkness, so much injustice. And I might be able to say or self-profess, I'm one of the happiest people in the world. I want to be joyful in the things that we do. And it doesn't matter the darkness, the injustice, the brokenness that we face. There's a deep, higher confidence we have because of who he is and not because of what we see. Right? So I'm going to be reading from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And this is a verse I would probably have to say 3/4 of you have written somewhere in your house. All right? You haven't. And you haven't memorized. This is one of the verses that you have probably memorized early on. Why? Because, oh, it's such a sweet verse. It speaks to me. It makes me feel so good and so nice. And it says this, for those of you who don't know it, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Oh, that feels so good. Oh, gives you kind of like the warm fuzzies, right? You just love hearing that. Oh, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. It's for our good, for our prosperity. We love hearing stuff like that. But I think the context of where this verse is found gives you clarity, or will give us more clarity, because God is promising these things in the context of exile. This promise is given to God's people in the context of exile. Let that sink in for a second. We read this verse, right? And we love it because it just makes us feel good. We have this positive outlook, right? But that came in that context. This word was given in the context of an exile. Now, I want you, as we read these verses, to think about that. Let that sink in. Also, let sink in what is your exile. What is the exile that you're walking through, you're living through? I mean, I'm seeing faces out here, but I'm only seeing from here on up because, you know, we're living through this global pandemic. And it's impacted everything. Some of you have been stuck at home, and this is it. This is my first, actually, the first time being in a in-person, like, group setting. This is amazing. I get, you know, to do this in front of people. I'm used to just now preaching in front of a camera, you know, and it's not fun, you know. You know, the only audience I have is Canon or Sony, you know. It's pretty boring. But to be able to do this is amazing. But we've been in exile. We've been in exile in many ways. So let's go back to the beginning of chapter 29 and read it from the context of where this word is given. And it says, Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was after King Jehoiachin, the queen mother, the court officials, and other officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and the artisans had been departed from Jerusalem. I'll leave it right there. Okay, so what happens is, the Babylonians exile this group, this first wave. They say that there were two waves historically. There are two waves of people that were being exiled. And they were choosing all the political, the economic, and the cultural infrastructure and leaders of the nation. They went and picked out everybody that had influence And that was significant to the society and the culture and the religion and everything that was going on. So just imagine if, you know, Houston or the U.S. or whatever context that comes to your mind, you know, all the, I wouldn't say important people, I don't want to create like levels, but everything that had that infrastructure, that were contributing to that infrastructure of the economy, the politics, government, everything was just taken away and just stripped from the land. And they left people there to kind of work the land and send the food and send the resources to Babylon, but basically everything was taken up from under them. Everything that sustained the nation was taken. And my question is, in this context of exile, what are those things that sustained you that have been maybe taken from you? I know many have lost their jobs, they've lost family members, I've lost friends. You know, it's heavy. And there's disappointment, despair, anxiety, stress. There's all these things that are just accumulating in us. And in that place, God is giving us this word. God is giving us this word. And it made me think, like, for those who had been exiled, those who were the infrastructure or those who had the influence, what was their greatest temptation as they were in Babylon? And some may say, well, it's, you know, to assimilate, to be a part of them. I kind of think their greatest temptation is, man, this place sucks. This place, I don't know, am I allowed to say sucks? Okay. This place sucks. This place sucks compared to where we were or what I'm used to. I'm not comfortable here. And in that, God gives a command. If you look in verse 4, it says, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children, then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I have sent you into exile. For the Lord, pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Amen. Build and plant, multiply, work for the peace and prosperity of the city where you've been exiled. I kind of find it hard, or we found it really hard at times, to pray for the peace and prosperity of where we were at. To work for that, to invest in that, to make that happen, to build and multiply, it is not easy. And I find it very interesting that God is calling us to this. He doesn't say, hey, just hold on for a second. Okay? You're in exile. It's going to be for 70 years. Just, you know, hang in there. And I'll come and rescue you. We want that rescue. We want the rescue from where we're at. We want the greener pastures. We want the better place. We want the comfort. But God says to his people, no. While you're there, while you're in exile, build and plant. Because you're going to be there for a while. Like I mentioned earlier, like I became a Mexican citizen a couple years ago, and I was like, you know, I had this deep feeling, because when we first arrived, and let me share this part. When we first arrived in Mexico, we were like, okay, my parents were also missionaries before, and we moved around, and we went to different places, and so I was like, well, you know, we'll be here for a couple of years at the most, and then we'll, you know. But after being there for all these years, God started speaking to me. He's like, no, you need to become a citizen. What is true in the natural is also true in the supernatural. If you want to gain greater authority in the land, you need to become a citizen. And I felt that very deep conviction. I can't speak even as with great authority just as even a permanent resident, right? I needed to kind of put my skin in the game type of deal. And I have this sense there are people here that are listening, or you're online. You need to say, what am I going to invest? What am I going to start building right here? It might be in the midst of this exile. It's not when this all ends and then on the other side of things is where I'm going to start building things up. There's some building that needs to happen right now. There's some planting that needs to happen right now. And it's not what you want it to look like. But the Lord is calling you to that. It says, build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. It also says, marry and have children. Find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. And think about these people when they're hearing these words. They must have been praying for the rescue. But then God says to them, build the homes, plant gardens, and children, grandchildren. Wait a minute. You just do the simple math, right? You're like, oh no, we're going to be here for a while. We're going to be here for a while. That doesn't sound very, very pleasing. But God is calling us to multiply. To multiply. One of my good friends is this leader, this amazing leader in Brazil. I try to go visit Brazil 2-3 times a year. I haven't this. Last year I went once, pre-pandemic. But everywhere I went, it was really interesting. He leads this massive ministry. And he was like, oh, yeah, he was my disciple. I discipled him, discipled him. Oh, and then when I speak to those leaders, they talk about their disciples. And that was a common thread. That was a common theme. And I was like, wait a minute. He's really discipling people. And I watched him interact. It wasn't like, okay, we're going to go through this book, and we're going to go, and you're going to answer these questions. And, you know, it was not like that. They did life, and they did ministry together. You know, it really modeled a lot of the discipleship that we saw Jesus doing with his disciples. I was like, no wonder his ministry has grown so much, because he multiplied. So my question to you is this. It might be a tough question, but who are you discipling? Do you have people in your life that you are discipling, that you are mentoring, that you are helping to grow? And do you have mentors, people that you are seeking for advice to help to grow and to further your walk with Jesus? This is the moment. This is the time. In no other time in history do we have any excuse to say, well, it's because we're in pandemic and I have no means to be able to connect with somebody outside of my home. We have all the technology available to us now. So basically, no excuses. We should all be discipling. You should all have someone that you are seeking mentorship and guidance from. There should be somebody that's discipling you. And they should know about it, incidentally. You shouldn't be like, oh yeah, you know, this guy's or this lady is discipling me and because I watch their YouTube videos, you know. No, that's not discipleship and that's not mentorship. You know, that doesn't, oh, I took a master class with this person and no. That's not discipleship. And what really got me is this part of the verse where it says, pray, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. It doesn't say just hope for it, pray for it, you know? No, it says work for the peace and prosperity. They're in exile. They're in their enemy's camp. They're in their enemy's camp, and there, God is asking them, work for the peace and prosperity. So, amongst all of the projects that we have this project that works in the areas of prevention, on raising more awareness on human trafficking. But part of all of that is this campaign that we launched last year called Nadie Nace Macho, which basically means no one is born macho, right? And pre-pandemic, I was traveling. I was like really struggling, looking at the deep root causes, the push and pull factors of what, you know, cause human trafficking. And you know, I looked at this gender violence and the really the abomination and injustice that it is. But I was asking myself, well, why? Where does that really come from? And that comes from this inequality. That violence comes from me seeing that there's those who have power, those who don't, that power structures and struggles. And then wait, but where does that have its roots? That gender inequality, where does that have that roots? And you look at where the cultural values, where people think, you know, what they think about gender roles. And I was like, we have to do a campaign against machismo. And machismo is not unique to Mexico. And it's not unique to Mexico or to Latin America. Machismo, you will find it all throughout the world. You may find it in your home. You may find it in your workplace. You may find it out on the streets. It's out there, and it is not a kingdom value. It is not a kingdom value. So we launched this campaign, and it consisted of a video, a social media challenge, along with ongoing Zooms, meetings, as well as podcasts and so on and so forth. To date, and then so the pandemic hit and we're like, well, do we still launch it? We said, we still got to go. This is the perfect time. There are now more people on their devices than ever before, right? So we launched a campaign. Over 20 million people have either viewed or participated within that campaign. And as a result of that, you know, Facebook has approached us and they wanted us to give them a corporate training on machismo in the workplace. And from there, we've just recently done a corporate workplace training for Citibank in Mexico. And now, I think 2 weeks ago, we got word the police department in Mexico City, where there are 89,000 police, are getting our training on anti-machismo. All right. Work for the peace and prosperity. I mean, I could stand on a stage and I can criticize. I can try to pull people down or bring people down. Say, well, no, you're macho, so you're bad. That's not what it's about. It's about, hey, let's pause and let's ask the questions why. And why there might be toxic masculinity. Where does that come from? What does real masculinity look like? It's not to bring judgment, but it's to build up. It's about building peace and constructing peace. And so, as we do this, we know we're in the long haul. This is not a hey, we're one and done type of thing. We're continually doing this. We're continually implementing kingdom values and kingdom principles in our enemy's camp. And while we're there, we're able to be agents of transformation and influence. And in that context, let's reread Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Let's remember that promise. But as we remember that promise, I encourage you, we can live in that promise. Right where you're at, right, might be in some type of exile, you have the ability, you have the responsibility to build and plant, to multiply, to work for the peace and prosperity of the land. It takes commitment. Building and planting, I don't know if you ever built anything, but I mean, it's not, it just doesn't happen in your head. You gotta work at it. Multiplying, generations, time, commitment, responsibility. Sometimes we don't like to hear those words, especially in church. No, that sounds like a burden. No. It's about building kingdom, people. It's not just about coming and being nice and, you know, giving hugs and making ourselves feel good about ourselves. There's a war happening. And God has called each and every one of us. Every one of us. Not just the pastors, not just the leaders. No, every one of us to build kingdom. To build his kingdom. To bring his culture, his kingdom culture, his values, his principles, his goodness, his kindness, his forgiveness here on earth. So let me share with you as we wrap up kind of like my process in this. I had to walk through pain, and I had to walk through suffering. I believe I shared before, but, you know, people ask me, I go to these conferences for, like, anti-trafficking. I'm usually the only guy, male leader that's in the mix. It's mostly a female-driven, and I love it. But I'm kind of the lone guy out most of the times. And they ask, you know, Benny, how did you get involved in the anti-trafficking movement? And I always say, it's because it comes from a place of deep pain in my life. Because when I was 8, 9 years old, I was sexually abused and raped by my neighbor. And I had made this, like, promise. I was going to do everything I can to protect my kids. But God started speaking to me about this issue of anti-trafficking. And he said, Benny, you didn't go through that pain just to protect your kids. You went through that pain so it can become a platform to show my power to the world. But it took me to walk through pain. And the reality is, sometimes we need to walk through pain to see a miraculous breakthrough. We want the miracle. We want the breakthrough. But how many of you know that when we look at all these miracles, all these breakthroughs that happen throughout the Bible, it comes with a pathway of pain? And when you walk through that pain, you need to be able to surrender to the Lord. That's what I had to do. I had literally had to surrender these things. I don't know what to do with this, God. I surrender it to you. Bring your healing. But if you find it in some way within your divine wisdom to use this for your glory, use it. And in that process, I found a deep responsibility to be able to share, to be able to walk, to be able to build, to multiply, and to work for the peace and prosperity. I sense that this message is for many of us here, and we're in different stages. You might be at this place ready to surrender to the Lord. You might be ready to build, multiply, wherever you're at. But I want to challenge you this morning to take those steps, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with his power and his wisdom, to be able to move in that authority and strength. So if you could do this, just humor me for a little bit. If you could just stand up right now, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to move, the Holy Spirit to speak. And if you need to surrender something to the Lord right now, just encourage you as an act of obedience and worship. If that's you, just put your hands out like this, both of your hands out like this, and palms up. It's an act of surrender to the Lord, but it's also with you, as your palms are open, it's also receiving from the Lord. Holy Spirit, we just ask for your sweet presence to flow right now. We know that you are here. We know that you are present. For every heart that needs to surrender to you, we give to you all our dreams, our brokenness, our past, our futures. We lift it to you, Lord. And just say, I surrender to you. Just say it. For every person here and every person watching online, we receive of you, Lord, of your blessing, of your wisdom, of your power and your strength, of the plans that you have for us. But we commit to you, Lord, that we will build, that we will plant, that we will multiply, and that we would work for the peace and prosperity of the city, of our homes, of our workplace. We will build, we will plant, we will multiply, we will work for the peace and prosperity of our lives and our hearts. Lord, we commit to you. We commit to you. Lord, that we would build, that we would plant, we would multiply, and we would work for the peace and prosperity, Lord, of your kingdom. In the dark places, in the places of your light, but also in the dark places, in the places of exile, in the places of freedom, we will build, we will plant, we will multiply, and we would work for the peace and prosperity. Lord, to represent your kingdom, to represent your truth, to represent your heart for us and for those who need you. So Lord, I just pray, Lord, a blessing over each person here. Lord, would they see that they are the salt and light of the earth, that they would never shy away from being the salt and light of the earth, that they would know who they are, that the value that each and every one of us have, Lord, to bless the nations, to bless the cities, to bless our homes, to bless our workplaces. We pray in the name of Jesus that we will continually live out being the salt and light. We pray, oh God, against the voice of the enemy who has tried to disqualify us, to sideline us, to speak those lies over us. We cancel that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we declare your truth right now. We pray that this community and this family of faith would be set ablaze in the name of Jesus for your kingdom, Lord, for your goodness and for your righteousness. Oh, Lord, that they would be those builders of peace here on the earth right now. We pray for that, oh God, that you would set this church ablaze in the name of Jesus. I just declare that each person here, each person watching, I pray in the name of Jesus. And Lord, would your justice flow? Would your goodness flow from each and every one of us, from our lips, from our actions, from all that we are and all that we do? May it all give glory to you. In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen. Thank you.
Now
this Jesus, if you don't know how to access this hope in exile, if you don't know what we're talking about, there is a way to know. And his name is Jesus. He's the Son of God, and he died for you on the cross and gave us eternal life. So this morning, if you are listening to this video, if you are here and you feel something inside of you, like you're supposed to do something, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit saying, I'm here, I'm real. I'm a prayer away, I'm here. So if that's you and you need to make your heart right, and if you want to be in the family, if you want to be known by God, it just requires one thing, and that's your yes, and that's your will. So if you want to do this prayer, if that's you, if you're watching online, if you're here, just say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you. Holy Spirit, come inside my heart. Jesus, I say yes. I say yes to you being Lord of my life. I believe you are the Son of God who died for me and rose again. Holy Spirit, will you surprise me with your presence? Will you show me that you are real? I say yes. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Every morning before we start, there's a group of us that pray, and we're sort of asking the Holy Spirit, what would you like to do? We want to participate. We want to participate with you. And so in a moment, we're going to sort of end this, but we'll still be here. The worship team will still be leading us. There'll be a couple people over at the side. If you'd like prayer, or if you want, just raise your hand and somebody will come pray with you. Just really felt there was a sense that there's a longing for the Father to let you know who you are, like a clarity of identity today, that who you are in light of him, of the work, the person of Jesus, and that he wants to show up in a way that is uniquely specific to where you're at. And so we're going to spend some time, we're going to sort of be here. I know that some people will have to go get kids, and that's fine, but we're just going to spend some time. We're going to create some space to experience the presence of God in a way that speaks to us in only the way the Holy Spirit can. But the reality is that we live our lives that in a way that is not quite linear. We don't go from victory to victory to victory. We go all over the map. And the fact that we can, with confidence, understand that the creator of the universe, the living God, is with us and for us in our victories and in our pain, in our trials and in our celebrations, it is the most profoundly amazing thing we could experience. And so this week, as you go, whether you are experiencing victories or pain, whether you are experiencing great celebration and joy or moments of loss, our prayer is that you experience in all of that the presence of God in a way that makes you hear his words, that I have a plan for you, and they're good, they're not for evil. It's a plan for a future and a hope that you could never imagine. And as you do that this week, this is our prayer. May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may he richly bless you and keep you.
Que él te bendiga y te guarde.
May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Que él haga su rostro resplandecer sobre ti y te dé su gracia.
May he smile on you and fill you with his peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by our Father.
Ha sido siempre y sigue siendo hoy extravagantemente amado por tu Padre Celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo.
Have a great week of worship. We'll see you here next week. And if you'd like prayer, there'll be some people on the sides. Or if you want, you can just raise your hand.